Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello. This is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyoncé.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Y'all, the date's May 1st, 2022.
Mayday!
Mayday. A day that will go down in history where, what have we come to on 90 Day Fiancé? That a plot point of this show needs to be how clean your asshole is. That's where Matt Sharp is now. That
I'm just glad we've come around to it.
I'm watching this and I'm going, what does this say about this about this couple, that a major plot point is going to be how, if your butthole has dingleberries in it or not?
I think
Where are we?
I think we've ignored this for way too long.
I think we've fallen too low.
Y'all, a bidet is where it's at.
I think bidets are wonderful.
Gay people have been douching for years.
Years. You got to. They just need to buy a tushy.
I think there's nothing more refreshing than a good spritz in the butthole.
I think so, too. Now, but it's not even a site. Y'all, this is going to be, this, mark my words.
I'm confused by your outrage. What's your outrage?
This bidet is going to come up as a major plot point.
Oh, it will. He's already.
I thought you'd have a bidet for me.
It's a little Florian.
I thought you'd have a bidet
maybe.
For me.
He doesn't crack like your Florian.
It's a little Brack.
More sweet. I honestly
it's
think.
It's Brack from Space Ghost for me.
I thought you'd have a bidet for me.
For me, it's just robot. I think he's a robot.
Okay, and I'm not the person to do this normally. I get total gay vibes.
I don't know what it's too per his eyes. He's gorgeous. His eyes are
gorgeous.
Perfect. His lips are perfect. His eyebrows are perfect. His teeth are perfect. His hair is perfect.
That hairline is not made by nature.
No. Oh, this room's so cute.
I'm so happy to be in America.
He's funny. He's funny.
He is.
But
something's off.
This Mohammed is very different than
this Mohammed. Is very different than I want my sex tonight.
I want Mohammed. My sex tonight, Mohammed.
Strangely, though, we do have Emily who wants her sex tonight.
She does want her sex tonight.
I want my sex. But no, but it's a list. I want my sex tonight.
My sex tonight.
My sex tonight, Kobe.
And then we have Bilal who just wants us to be grateful.
We're going to talk about them first.
We are talking about them
and
first.
And I have so much to say about that t-shirt. But
Yo, welcome to Reality Gaze. It's
part two of episode three.
Pino, you didn't.
Part two of episode three. Hey, I want to remind everybody.
Why is my voice so high?
I don't know.
Because I'm gay.
Because you're gay. Hey, live shows. Come see us, y'all. The Summer of Fun tour has
begun. I can do it.
Do it. I was going to do it quickly. No, it just we
did
thank
you
too long.
Just that shade.
I didn't mean it shady.
Fine. No, I won't talk.
Okay.
No, y'all. I'm never speaking again.
All right, come see us on June 16th.
Because it's not quickly enough.
Columbus, June 17th, Detroit, June 19th, Minneapolis, June 22nd, Phoenix, San Francisco, June 23rd, July 8th, Dallas, Austin, July 9th, July 10th, San Diego, July 14th, Salt Lake City.
Not Santiago, Chile.
No.
Different.
San Diego. July 14th, Salt Lake City. If you have troubles buying VIPs there, y'all, let us know. Some people are, but we're coming at them. And then finally, Poodle, where are we going to be on July 15th?
Grover's Corners.
You're going to be in Denver.
Because what do I know? I'll just sit here because I take too long.
And this is what it's like living with Mother Poodle.
It is. I get all of my righteous indignation from Mother Poodle.
You do.
Y'all, because she showed me how to do it.
She did.
And my father had a problem. She's like, I'll just sit here and eat wet cigarette butts. Never mind.
She will.
We like mint. There's not mints. There's sours. We've been over this.
We just talked about it. Y'all, we did our YouTube live. That's for anybody on our Patreon tier at the $15 tier. We do a live.
We talk to you.
And I keep meaning to do this. We get a recording of it. So I'll post it for the people that couldn't watch the live. I'll post it in the
Patreon. Oh, you said really bad stuff today. So we may not want to post that one.
Maybe not. It's something too soon.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't mean it to sound bad. It's why we don't do stuff live. It wasn't. It was terrible.
We'll take that out.
Anyway, y'all. But join us once a month. We talk to you for like 30
minutes. And join us on the road. Y'all, I will say, we're show ponies, and we love performing for you guys.
We do.
We're whores. Absolute. We love, because I'm a whore, you're a whore.
Big whore.
We love going out there and having a good blast with you guys. And I hate people, but I love meeting you guys.
You do.
Because.
You do love people.
I don't love people. I mean,
you love the people out on the road. You enjoy meeting
I meet the people who already like me.
It's
I
true.
Like the people who already like
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's why we know we're doing the right thing.
And I've been hugging people, which has been shocking for me.
It's true. It's why I know I'm doing the right thing in my life, because I always feel better after we do a podcast.
I do too.
Podcast or live. I could be in a shitty mood before, but afterwards I always feel lighter.
And then I get horny, which is weird.
Y'all, we got to hurry this show up today because it didn't take a couple of days ago.
You know what it took? But I think my cycle is turning over quicker.
Okay, great.
Like, I need to get banged out, the crazy banged out.
It's like instead of using salicylic acid to turn over cells quicker on your face, you put it up your butthole. Did you use Clinique's turnaround on your asshole?
I think my situation is happening where I need it more often.
Well, if you're cleaning it with a bidet, it's just getting a lot of exfoliation. It does kind of, I will say, it is stupid that Americans are like, let's just wipe my most sensitive part of my body with really terrible paper.
And let's have almost every toilet paper that's out there available commercially, let's have that be like sandpaper
on your
asshole.
It's true. Y'all, if you're not wiping your butthole with aloe toilet paper, then you're doing it wrong.
I have to buy it specially.
Me too. We've reached a new point.
You know who also does? My mother goes to Costco for a specific toilet paper.
Wow.
She will.
Wow.
She also, when she can't find it, she lets my father's bathroom have the lower standard toilet paper so she can have the nice one. She's like, he doesn't give a shit. Why should I care? I want the good stuff. Because I asked for, she brought me toilet paper in my bath. She's like, I had to go into my stash because your father's got the like cheap shit in it.
Wow. Your dad's poor butthole probably just looks like it's been ravaged by a crow.
And I think he's had hemorrhoids before.
Wow.
So it's just not fair.
And this is where people said, today's the day I'm unsubscribing. Sorry,
bye.
Y'all.
Bye.
Sorry.
If you're not here at our worst, you don't deserve us at our best. I'm going to say that now. If you're not here for our hemorrhoid stories, you don't deserve Aunt Peggy's lip.
You don't. Which will be at our Dallas show, everybody. The whole Markland, Mother, Dallas, Peggy, Darla. Just don't ask for a picture with Darla and Peggy because they're still not speaking. So you're going to have to do them separate. But they're going to be there in Dallas, y'all.
If you see an old woman who looks strangely possessive, that's probably Aunt Peggy.
That's probably it. Well, I think they'll tell by the lip. But yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
Also, you guys, Selling Sunset.
Oh, so good.
Thank you for that
reunion.
Show.
You're welcome. We've been getting a lot of feedback that says Maddie does not know the full pure evil of Davina.
He really
does need to watch season 1, 2, and 3. And because we have people saying, people contacted me like, he has no idea. Wait till he sees this.
And I'm kind of glad that I don't know. I mean, we've talked about doing them like at an event like prior season.
Yeah.
I kind of like, because again, when I saw how quickly she turned on Vanessa, I went, okay,
no,
I'm excited.
She's doing a good idea by hiding her vestigial tail right now.
I believe everything Christine says about her.
Oh, yeah. She's...
Anyway, y'all, that's coming up. Bling Empire's coming back. The season looks very good. We also are going to have some interviews with Big Royalty. They're coming to the Austin show.
Yes, the Reigns will be at the Austin show.
Oh, I meant to tell you.
The Valeros, I don't know.
There's going to be a lot. I don't know. Jody just texted me. She said, is it okay if we have 10 comps?
Yes.
They're bringing a lot of fucking people.
We've got.
She said Cammy's coming. She's about to drop her baby.
We've got enough comps for that show.
Y'all, there's going to be a lot of people. A lot of the Reigns coming
to Austin. We need to know now, though.
Okay, yeah,
because
yeah.
I'm handling. I gave someone 5 comps today. Okay. I know.
The Reigns. I think the Tykes are going to be
the
coming.
The Tykes are coming.
So y'all, it's going to be a fun little meeting. We might have some of them on stage. Talk to them a little bit. It'll be fun.
I love all those people.
I do too. I do too.
So also, y'all, you said Bling Empire, but
yeah.
Plathville coming back. Welcome, Plathville, season 4. Just as much drama.
So much.
We see the decimation. We see
the dissolution
of Max and Moriah.
Moriah.
Because he was sending nudes to some older woman. Y'all, I still want that dick shot.
I know,
because
I do too.
I have an idea of what it looks like. And
it's nice.
It's
I don't
bad.
Follow him on Instagram anymore, so I don't know.
Yeah, because
I don't know if he has a link.
He wasn't posting stuff that I really approved of.
No.
Not to get into politics. So,
well, no, not politics. Human rights. That don't say gay stuff. So, yeah, that's gonna be. It's gonna be sad to watch, but it's also gonna be. We knew it was gonna happen because it was her puppy love.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Mo Ryan needed this.
This is gonna make a good album for her.
Well said. Well said.
Mariah, if you're listening, I could vocal coach you because I think with a little bit of work, we could find that.
She's not listening at all. Okay.
Ooh.
I'm
showing some legendary
today.
Yeah,
if you're watching
you're
the Intimate Portrait, I'm
portrait.
Sorry. You're sitting right here,
ooh,
and you're uncomfortable.
And I'm putting my leg on
you're
you.
You're very uncomfortable,
ooh,
right now. I'm,
ooh,
sorry.
You ever? I'm foot-fucking you right now.
You are really horny today. What is wrong with you? Golly. You know what? Nothing's wrong with you. I'm sex positive. You just need to get it done.
Ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm the way God made me.
You are.
And she made me well.
She did. Your fuck machine broke, didn't it?
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay, let's talk about
Let's get on to the show. Let's start the timer.
Oh, start timing.
Timey.
We've named our timer Timey. Y'all.
How original.
I know.
What is that? How original.
How original.
What is that from? I don't know. All right, Timey.
You know who I learned passed away, by the way, is, yes, we heard about
Naomi Judd.
And y'all, highly recommend, in the Facebook group, I made a post about that, about resources for if you're feeling suicidal. But also, what's her name? Joanne.
You're so helpful with the what's her name.
Vicky from the original Parent Trap died. That's evil stepmother. And I'm so sad.
You liked her?
Yes, she was a great actor. She was a great actor. You know, she was.
I like how you don't know her name. So
it's Joanna. What was her first name? Joanna Barnes was her last name. And I didn't know this. She was in The Second Parent Trap. She played the mother of the gold digger in The Second Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan.
Can you believe it?
Can you believe it? Anyway.
I can, but so it's not a big deal
I'm
for me.
I'm sad she died. Let's, you know what? That's still less depressing than fucking Bilal and Shida.
I can't get past this Be Grateful shirt.
Oh.
When you have to put your passive aggressive, straight up aggressive mantras.
And she calls him on it. I will say, so far,
I think she's a good match for this motherfucker.
I think she is too. I'm afraid they're still together. But so far, she's my favorite person on this season.
Me too.
She really is my favorite person.
Although I kind of...
I'm sure I'm going to regret it.
I'm going to regret saying that I like Eve,
Yes, we're going to regret we said we like... Because last week, you weren't... But I said, I disagreed with her, like... But there is something likable about Emily.
No, absolutely not.
That was taken away this episode.
Yes, thank you. Join my side of Emily haters.
I don't hate her. I really don't hate anybody on... Well, no, I hate Bilal. I shouldn't say hate. Because Bilal's... I only hate the people that are in a certain category. Like, I hate the Big Eds. I think Bilal... Yeah. Big Ed.
No, Bilal belongs in the monsters category.
And Mark and Nikki, they're all on their own thing. But even like...
Drink the haterade.
But even like, like, I don't hate Paul. I don't hate Angela. I don't want to see them necessarily on my TV.
I think when I say it, it's more playful. And it's not like a vicious hatred.
You say the word hate just frivolously, as if
I do.
You say, I hate this Starbucks.
I do.
This pin. You just use the word a lot.
Because you know why?
You have strong opinions.
I have strong opinions, and it's okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
At least I'm alive.
Exactly.
And at least I live.
I'm alive.
And at least I live in a house, and I'm grateful for it.
You're grateful for it.
What a piece of shit.
It's true.
I will say, Bilal's one of those, it's so sinister. This is sadistic.
Oh, yeah. It's sadistic.
Let's just jump in, y'all. She's making that motherfucking bed, and he's saying in his weird, like, still sleeping with the enemy voice, yeah, I did play a joke on her, because I picked her up in a work dirty van and we're staying in my childhood home, but this is not at all what I expected.
And he's making coffee for her again with fucking greenery over the sink.
Which he probably poured a bottle of Dasani into it to get it.
We need to remember this. Yes, people live in worse conditions, so we're not knocking that. I don't think the comparison game is appropriate here. No.
This house is
dilapidated.
That's not the point, though. The point was she thinks he lied to her.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what a shithole the house is. It doesn't matter. Yeah. What he said was different.
It doesn't matter, but it does add context that he's not only trolling her with a... It's not like he's trolling her with a modest home.
No.
He's trolling her with a dilapidated home.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only thing that is important, because it shows to me his complete unrealistic expectations of how she should behave. Like, he should be grateful for this.
Right. I think that's fair, but I would say even if he was in a modest home, it would still be lying and breaking trust.
For sure.
I consider those equal. Because he came in with his Louis Vuitton luggage. She saw how he lived.
I guess I'm not talking about... I think you're talking about... We're talking about two different things. I'm kind of adding even more context in that. What I'm trying to say, it's not about his lie, what he did wrong. I'm saying, like, we see this someone who can say that I can pass this house off with peeling paint.
True.
That you should be okay with this shows
this really is why he's monster category.
I agree. And the thing is, she has no context.
Yeah.
So she's going to see all of this as a betrayal.
Yeah.
It won't matter how. This is an extreme betrayal, but it would also be a betrayal if it was a house that wasn't just maybe like tuple degrees less nice.
If she agrees to stay with him,
I can't help her.
A, I can't, because he has shown her immediately who he is. And two, if she does this, then I think she's in it just to be in the U.S. That's the only reason. I mean,
well, sometimes some partners will. This could be a thing where religion plays a part.
Possibly.
Unfortunately. But so we're going through this. He's got be grateful.
Yeah. And he says he has. And she even calls him. She's like, I see you with your little shirt.
I loved that.
I loved it, too. She's like. And then she does something that I hated. She apologized. And she apologized kind of, it seemed like really apologizing. But then I got intrigued because she said, because she says to the camera, she said, I came here on this K-1 visa.
Can you take care of me?
I can't work for a long time. You are my sole provider. And she said, can you, this to him, she said, yeah, can you take care of me, Bilal? And then he, this is what I'm talking about. Him having this house that's this dilapidated, and the narcissism of this sociopathic man to say,
and doesn't move at all, doesn't move him at all.
That he never. I wrote this later, but never once this entire episode has he talked about her feelings and how this made her feel. He when she says, "Can you take care of me?" He said, "Would I move you here if I couldn't take care of you? Like I'm some fucking prince."
And then he jumps right in after that and says, one of the things that's big for me is gratitude. In other words, let's shift this of you asking me a question and let me put the focus back on you and what you should be doing.
Because he said, I understand her perspective, but she could have said it better. She said that so
fucking nightmare.
She said that. Oof. When she said that to me, it actually made my heart drop because what I saw, what a normal person who's not a sociopath would see, I saw fear. I saw scare. I saw desperation.
What a normal person who isn't based on a category in the DSM would say.
Like a normal person would have, I would have said in that moment, honey, I fucked up.
Yeah.
I thought this would be a fun joke for you and I didn't realize how scared you are. We're fine. We're going to be okay. I would have begged for forgiveness. Not Bilal. Someone just died upstairs.
What a great timing.
Y'all, the neighbors organizing. Here we go.
She
hates Bilal.
Last night, I just heard click, click, click. I don't know what was going on.
Maybe.
No, it was in this room. But maybe.
Maybe.
So she calls her mom, Sandra, who has established herself as a star in
already,
one episode.
Already.
And I've got to say, God, I love the way people, she says that this is very Trini. She says Trini, like that's the way. I love their expressions. I love to hear, it's so melodious to hear people from Trinidad and Tobago talk.
It is. I agree.
And y'all, she quotes Eveline from The Wiz and says, "Now don't you go give me no bad news.
Now don't you give me no bad news.
Don't you go give me no bad news from The Wiz."
I know that's, but
how
but I don't,
dare you?
I've never
it
seen
is
The Wiz.
Wonderful.
Never seen The Wiz.
We need to watch that movie.
Yeah, I would watch. Yeah.
How have you missed out on that?
I don't know. I never saw it.
You know, if you had seen it and you were talking to me, you would lambast me about this.
But you saw things. I grew up in Oklahoma bubble. I don't know what happened.
You managed to see a lot of things.
I know.
So anyway, and she's like, she tells her mom, I don't know this person. And she shows her mom the ceiling and the mom is cackling.
Laughing.
Because in a way, mom probably said, this is a bad idea. You don't know this guy. this is, you know, I think you're doing what you think is right.
Her mom says, welcome to America. And it's just cackling at her. And I mean, you can take it two ways. I think it's probably, you can look at this and go, that's really like terrible over a mother.
No. This is just cathartic laughing.
I think it's, I was going to say you can take it one of two ways. I think you could take it that way, or you could take it that her mother's just, this is a release. And also probably her mother is probably wanting to, in talking to her mother seems like a person of, when bad things happen, we do the best we can and we kind of make
light
of it.
That's what I think it is.
So I think it's actually her mother is laughing, but also doesn't want her daughter. I think just the little bit we've met of Shida takes herself and she takes things very, very seriously. And I think the mother is trying to balance that.
And mom,
that's
also
what I got from it.
And mom also says, well, basically says you need to make lemonade out of these lemons. You know, see if he's the guy for you. And if he doesn't, get on a plane and bring your backside back to
TNT. Because she brings a good point. She said, people can live in modest means, but is he working?
Yeah.
Or is he lazy?
And my favorite thing mom says was, you have a choice. You always have a choice. And you guys, listen to that. Because when you get in a place and saying you are stuck, you always have a choice. You always have a choice. That was such a wonderful thing for her mom to say.
Oh, I like her. I think her mom, and it calmed her in that moment. And also she also reminded her that she can come back home.
Yeah.
So she's not stuck there. Because that's what she's thinking. I'm here alone. What am I going to do?
Right. So let's move on to the fact he had some stuff to do that morning. God knows what that was.
God knows.
She's cleaning the kitchen. She's got everything clean by the time he gets back, like a good wife. And then he's got the nerve to say, well, she started the night off with a D-, maybe even an F. So we're already grading her.
She had a lot of things. Y'all, think about this. It's the way he said it. You could have someone say, she said some things that I didn't like. Whereas he said, she had a lot of things that came out of her mouth that I did not like. Y'all, that is like such controlling language.
I have so much anger towards this person that I would love to get him in a room and just have a bunch of Fight Club people wail on him.
He would be a monster parent.
Yes.
He is the type of guy that would fuck up his kids.
I know.
I can't believe his kids seem so well adjusted.
I know we've said there are scary monsters in the Night A universe before. This one, I think, might be the scariest. This is hard.
I don't know. Mark and Nikki of Mark and Nikki was pretty bad.
Oh, I just think this guy has no good plans for his.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So, y'all, and then, so he says, I'm so excited for you to meet my mom. We're going to go. He's like, she thinks we're going to meet my mom. We're actually going to my real house. And I wrote down, so you're fucking with her again because you're getting her even more upset that this her second day
she's
here.
She's so nervous to go meet your mother.
You're going to meet your mother. And that's the scare. And you know what? You're fucking with her for that because she's not.
Why don't you just go make up another excuse?
No, this is just to fuck with her.
It's control.
This is just to fuck with
her. It's just all control.
It's absolutely mortifying.
It's terrible.
So Shida basically says, I started to notice a change in the houses, and these are the houses that I expected to live in. And do you notice that he's still continuing? They get to his house. He's still continuing this charade because he knocks on his own door.
Yeah.
And I said, it takes a sick person to do this, to keep continuing with this.
Do you think when the producer was editing this, it said, okay, all right, Bilal is gaslighting Shida. Okay, and then we need to cut to bidet clean asshole directly from that. That's the plot points now of this show.
So then he walks in. We don't see anyone. And he says, really grossly, welcome to your new home. And then she gets it.
It's not funny.
It's not funny. And at the same time, she kind of starts to cry more out of cathartic release.
She drops to her knees to like praise God.
And weirdly, at this point, y'all, she's he has broken her down.
Yeah.
To the point where this is what he wanted to do.
He showed
her. Not a prank. He has broken her down. Now she will be grateful.
Grateful.
For what he's going to give her the rest of the time. This is like, he's almost like she's been torturing her.
And he said, I just wanted you to live here. All right. I just wanted you to feel appreciated.
Garbage.
Which she doesn't. Now.
No. I wanted you to know appreciation.
Oh, yeah. To know appreciation. And she says, you know, she's like, and where she said to the camera, she said, you know, he put me, I'm so grateful this is a house. She said, it's what I've dreamt about. But she said,
But
he put me through some type of this test, this practical joke.
I will always be skeptical.
Well, she said, what tells me, she didn't say skeptical yet. She said, but it feels like he doesn't trust me.
Yeah.
So that kind of killed me too, because her language wasn't, I don't trust him.
Yeah.
It's all male-centered. But he doesn't trust me.
Later on, she does say, moving forward, I will always be skeptical.
She does say that later on.
100%.
She does say that later
on. So this is the thing, you guys. He has created an impenetrable barrier of trust between the two of them with this. And how do you get over this?
No, but what's even crazier is that he's like, yeah, this whole prank kind of blew up in my face. And the way he's talking about it, it's not that she got upset. He's more of, did she get the lesson? Did she understand how grateful? Because he said, you know, I took you to that house. That was, you know, my childhood home. So you know where I came from. And if I was ever broke or if I lost all my money in the stock market, would you stand beside me?
But he still goes on to punish her for it.
Yeah.
And then he says, and Shida says, you put me through hell, a practical joke. I don't want to be in a relationship with someone who doesn't trust me. That's just what you said. And y'all, then we enter this room where he goes, it's like two big yoga mats and like her clippings on the wall. And she's like, oh, it's my newspaper article. And I said, and she's so overcome, you guys.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
And
her reaction, not sweet.
But the thing is, y'all, this is what monsters like this do.
Oh yeah, this is
textbook behavior.
Textbook controlling behavior. Textbook.
And you give them, after denying them, they give you a gift. So this is something you can look back on and say, oh, they do love me.
So when this is his excuse of saying, I guarantee you, he's going to treat her shitty if she tries to bring it up. And he'll say, but I made that room for you.
Mm-hmm.
I did all those sweet things for you.
And
y'all, read The Sociopath Next Door.
The only thing that I like about this storyline being on this season is I hope a lot of people see mirrors of
I hope women see their relationships in this show.
Or
men too, but yeah.
And let's be honest, it's never going to be the sociopath seeing it and recognizing themselves.
No.
But
never.
I hope it's people who can recognize, oh, that's me right now, or that's what I was in.
Well, and most people that are watching and seeing that here in the U.S. or wherever they are in their home country are watching that and going, oh, I'm in that. I can call my friend Cheryl. I can call my cousin Tabitha.
Yeah.
Shida can't
call. Cousin Tabitha!
But Shida can't call anyone. Nope. She's completely alone in this. So that's what's heartbreaking to see her go through that.
I want her to wail on him with a big hammer. That's what I wish for her.
I don't want her to marry him. If she does marry him, I hope she marries him and in 2 years takes him for all his worth. Because remember, y'all, they're already spiritually married. And not like Indy from Lalu. Who, as Yolanda said, is about to get spiritually divorced.
A spiritual divorce party.
This episode of Lalu was mwah.
That's all I've got.
Let's go to commercial and we'll be right back.
Bye-bye. Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai.
Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with her ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
This is their only chance we have tonight, and that's it. And I'm gonna swing on your dick till I'm tired of it.
She's pretty horny.
It's not even that. What's interesting is, oh, you can press play.
I want to do timing. Yeah,
we've found out what she wants to do on her only night with him, and it's not just sex. She wants to freak out about all the insecurities she's been having because she can't share them with her family, and she wants to pass them on to him.
It's again, with Emily. I feel for her. I think she's gone through a lot, but the way she is communicating and going about it is just a recipe for for just making Kobe feel like he's not an equal in this relationship, and actually lessening him as a person.
That, exactly.
But I feel like she could, whereas a lot of people like on 90 Day Fiancé, we have a lot of people who are like, wow, that's just like, they're really fucked up. They're thinking, I get her fears. I even get why she wants to have one, why she feels she wants to connect with Kobe. And she, cause she's so fucking scared to death that he's not going to give a shit about her and just care about his kid. And in the back of her mind, she's thinking what everybody's telling her is, he just moving here for the kid now because you haven't seen each other. They're all well-founded fears. But what I like about her segments and what I really like watching about her is I think Emily is a lot of, I think she's unlike Jabri, and I think she's a normal person who is behaving very badly and acting on these impulses.
I agree.
And like you were talking about, like seeing the sociopath of Bilal, like maybe we can, I don't know. I think like I'm very interested to see if Emily doesn't watch herself this season and in the tell all realize, whoa, then I can't help you, Kobe, because you fucked. Because a normal person would see I'm acting like a monster.
No, I hope that for her.
I hope it, but I don't
know.
All
I know is we, Kobe just got a view of what his 90 days is going to be like.
I mean,
and he has no idea.
When she started on that dinner, I just was watching like this.
Well, and this is what you're seeing is someone who. She said it. She's like, this night is for me. And that's when I went, you're going to always put yourself above your partner and your partner's relationship with your child.
I think
that's what I saw.
Now, that said, the only thing, just to hedge our bets, because y'all, again, it's like Eve. We say we like Eve now, and it could change. But we haven't seen, and this is a very Matt Sharp thing to do, we have seen very little about Kobe.
I agree. We don't know. He is an unknown quantity to us.
We don't know. He's hot. I'll give him that. He's very attractive. But, like, we don't know how he acts. So he could be he could have been avoiding all this. Maybe we'll find out he never wanted to talk about any. Because, again, I've talked about, I fall into this trap. I'll look at the woman and say, and I'll say, I'm using this word because we use it a lot. People use it a lot in society, even though I don't think. But we'll say, this woman's, quote, crazy. But then we find out this whole time this guy has been either a man baby or completely shirking responsibility. Right. And she goes, quote, crazy because she's just trying to get something from him. But I don't know.
I can understand that. But I would agree with you if I hadn't seen her do the same thing with her parents.
That's true.
The same exact behavior.
Yeah, that's
of
true.
An irresponsible child, even though she's
Again,
29.
Yeah, she's fucking 19 years old. She's 29.
And so I don't think the problem, and I may be wrong, the problems that seem to originate with him here.
Yeah.
This is her like festooning all of her own insecurities upon this man
just like
who's been
vomiting
here in one night. And maybe she, and what's weird is she doesn't seem to have, she couldn't even talk to her gay friend about this. She couldn't talk to Bangs, her sister, about this.
No.
But we're going to get to that. But let's just jump into picking him up from the airport. And let me just talk about why she skeeves me out.
Okay.
There's this idea about, she's like, do you want to drive? And it's like, it's everything is implying a sexual element of their relationship, and mm-hmm. she's trying to push that. And I wonder if that's she has a limit about that she's not going to think she's going to have it when she's with. Again, I still don't know why they could not have met her son, and then that same night gone to a hotel. I still don't get it.
I think sex for her is the only currency she thinks she has that's valuable.
That's fucked up.
But that's a lot of women. That's a lot of sex. That's a lot of gay men. We become so sexualized that we feel like we always have to lead with that.
But
I'm just saying, but I think underneath that, she has no confidence at all. Just knowing she was a woohoo girl. So we can be all sex positive. We're great for sex positivity. But there's a difference of being sex positivity. And what I think, just a little we know from Emily, but just knowing other people in my life, I think she's always led with her sexualness because she was this brazen girl. And it was this whole thing of like, what we've talked about, like going into situations and we shit glitter because we want some, that's like the thing. We're like, we're gay, 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 gay. So you won't reject me. And I feel like if she's somewhere in her mind, she says, if I'm overtly sexual with a guy, he won't reject me.
I understand that. But it was really interesting that she said, can you believe this? This was only supposed to be a one night stand, but look at it now.
Yeah.
And I still think she looks at this as some win that she did. She pulled this rabbit out of the hat, out of a one-night stand, and kept this relationship going, and she got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And this is almost weird bragging rights.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like to me, everything feels like this is all for the wrong reasons. And it's only for her insecurities. And I'm sorry, I cannot let that go.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's especially because there's a child.
No, there's a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that it's very like, I think that too, she's reminding, that's was the thing the thing when she felt powerful and she felt like he liked her was when they were sexual. So she's like, I think that's another thing too, that she wants to remind him of how they met and that it's going to be that way again. But it's like, I want to say, honey, you can't go back to Terabithia. Terabithia has burned to the ground.
And it's never real in the first place.
You had a bang trip in China. You're both not even you're in a completely different country now. You have a baby. So it's just, it's not bad. It's just, you've got to get used to this new normal and not try to think you're going to regurgitate this past memory that's going to save your relationship.
The next thing they talk about, she does tell him, she's like, so I thought we could have a date night, and that's a way, and I thought, so, and he says immediately, I thought we were going to see Coben today. Sorry, Coben. And I know, and he's like, she's like, I know, but don't you want to have like one date night? I want to clarify the term date night. That usually means you've been in a relationship for a while and you've had the ho-hum, humdrum, and you're trying to have one night just for you. She has not earned the term date night. This is, that's why I see this as such a, and I know,
well, you, she thinks she's earned it because she's been at home raising a kid.
But it's one way.
It's like you said, it's her date night.
Right.
It's not their date night. She needs that, a date night.
It's one way.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm thinking for her, this is all about banging him and rocking his world.
And to re-spark that love that was 2 years ago. Come on, girl.
And I guess I can't get over the what feels like this such a self-centered thing take him away from his child. I just can't get over it.
I want to say, and maybe not, I call a little, maybe we just don't know him yet. I call a little for audacity on this plot point because I feel like his reaction in the moment was not that severe. If you think about it, the only time he said, I really want to see my child, like he said it after the fact
He said it. He said it right after that. He's like, oh, I thought we were going to see Coben today.
He thought that, but she was like, well, I was thinking, he never put up a fight of, no, I really would like to go see my son. Like, he never told her that in that moment.
You're right. In the moment, he said, I feel like she's being selfish.
But he never said it to her.
So, and, well, she said, she followed up with saying, this is our only opportunity. Again, that's when I went, I'm tuned out to you.
I don't know. I thought it was, do I put it past her to do this? No. But the way, I was like,
No, he could have pushed back further. If he wouldn't have wanted to do it, he could have said, we're not going.
Yeah.
But that's all we saw, y'all. They're at the hotel.
Yeah. That, to me, like, they brought it. This is a major plot. I just thought from a production standpoint, this is a major plot
point. I agree.
And then they just kind of fast forward through it.
Did you get when she said, this is really interesting. I wrote down, this is going to be a whole process of him having to choose her over not just his son, but their family.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee that's going to be an issue.
Oh,
because
I'm sure.
She needs that validation from him. And I don't know if he can do it. I don't know.
We know, again, we know nothing
very little
about him. And so, I don't think, again, they both knew a different person.
Yeah. And so y'all, they're at the hotel and she's like, my trick worked. And again, the worst way to explain this.
Yeah.
And when I hear things like that, I can't. And later
it was kind of crazy to me when Emily said, so we're doing this, you know, as a mother, I probably would have said no. So you're saying,
what?
So for you, you wouldn't have done this, but that's fine for him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just,
she's already decided the roles they're going to have in parenting.
But all that kind of like, so they sit down in there and Coby is,
which looks like a fucking cheesecake factory where they are.
It does. And so they're sitting down there and Coby basically says, I'm a little uncomfortable because I notice I'm the only black person.
She's
here.
Like, no, there's one over there.
Yeah.
Look over there.
Sadly, she did not, because this is Salina, Kansas. And
there was one other person.
I didn't see anyone.
There was one other person she pointed at.
Yeah. Oh.
But I just like, she's like, no, there's one other. So he's like, yeah, there's not a lot of black people here. And I will say, this could have been accomplished by a Google. So I call a little for audacity here. Yes, this was his opinion.
Yeah, that's what I feel like with this couple, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of the intuition that there isn't a lot of things wrong with them. And we're
maybe
getting plot point. Because he doesn't seem dumb. She's already brought up. She's worried about him being the only black person in the town.
Maybe.
So I'm just, I mean, I'm glad they're talking about it.
I have a question for you then.
But then all that money stuff erupted from her mouth and you're like, oh my god.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
But what would be the end game of having her do this if it was Fraudacity?
Yeah.
So that's what I have to ask about.
Well, the end game of just being on a reality show.
Yeah, but I'm saying this is not the... You would fight about something even sillier, not the fact that she wanted to bang him before seeing her son.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be it. So, because that's based in reality.
Mm-hmm.
That could not have come from production.
No, I think she wanted to do that too.
But I think, they are... This is really interesting. So they immediately shift from him saying, I'm uncomfortable as the only black person in the room. And her's like, so, what about the cafe? Immediately, we just set in. What about the money? And she's like, so you got all the money back? Did you break even? You got all the money back?
He did.
All the money back? And the next thing is... I wrote down, she turned date night into a henpecking situation.
Yes.
Right away.
Yes. But I do think it's odd that, and this is why I'm kind of like, I'm holding full judgment because we don't know Kobe yet. She said, you know, how much money did you bring? And she's like, you didn't tell me on the phone. And he said, it's a surprise.
And
I went, yeah, that's not adult either.
And no.
I went, so we've been talking about her, but do we... It looks like to me we have two children playing house here.
Agreed.
It looks like, because I'm just adding the pieces together. He's good looking. He was an underwear model. He met a fuck girl on a fuck boy trip. Like, is he just a big child?
I think what I'm talking about is the fact that she wanted it to be a date night.
No, I'm talking about something completely different. I'm talking about him now. I'm talking about the fact that I'm just adding up the clues. Is... If I was moving to another country and I already had a kid with someone, if somebody asked me, oh, how much money are you bringing? I would say, oh, this is what I'm... got to start planning this shit.
Totally agree with you. That's here nor there from what I'm saying. I'm saying she's bringing up these points that have nothing to do with romantic chemistry time.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
And this is stuff she's been holding on to that she could not say for some reasons in Zoom calls.
Yeah.
And...
Well, but it also sounds... She said you didn't tell me on the phone, so I'm just saying, has he been avoiding her and not answering her?
Two-way street.
Yeah.
This is a two-way street of... If he's avoiding her, she can obviously...
That's the worst thing you can do for Emily. Emily is a person who, if you're mad at her, she can't stand that you're mad. She can't stand the not knowing.
Right.
And I feel like he might be someone that is... maybe he just said it's a surprise because they were on camera.
So let's talk about the rings.
And it's just like chipped away. And then she went on this ring... Because I was thinking, well, you want money for, like, important things.
Yeah. So talk about, what do you think her motivations were here?
Well, she started to say, like, oh, he wants diapers. I went, okay. And then she just immediately went, and the ring. And I was like, all right, honey. I know you want to, I know. And so then we went into this.
See, I think this is less quaint than you think it
is. You had all.
I think this is shitty.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's shitty. I think just because I'm talking about there could be shittiness in him, you feel like I'm diminishing the shittiness of her.
No, I'm not.
I'm not. Yeah. I'm saying that I think there's more than meets the eye with him. But with her, when she went into this whole, I want my fairy tale fantasy wedding, and I went, you banged a fuck boy in China and didn't use birth control. It's kind of the same way I felt the first episode when you didn't agree with me, where I'm kind of like, you've made your bed, you have to sleep in the bed that you've made, Emily. So maybe you're not using the money to have the fantasy wedding you want because you both still live with your parents and he can't work. So probably I would use that money for maybe for him to go to school to learn a trade or for something to help you build a life instead of her just wanting this like I'm like, the wedding he bought you in China that you think is fake can fucking work for 5 years.
Well, I saw this as different. This is her throwing all of her anger that she hasn't been able to tell him because she's so excited. That's why I said this night, when she said this night was for me, this is my night to throw all of my anger at you and see what sticks.
Not just anger. Anger, fear, like everything.
All of it.
Everything.
All of it. And yeah. That's when I went, that's the motivation behind this.
I mean, it was really...
You may have described it, or you may have thought subconsciously it was for chemistry. No. This is your night to throw everything at him, and it's very extremely selfish.
Yeah, it's very selfish.
Yeah,
very
that's selfish. What I. That's my whole point in this.
No, I got that.
Is that I thought she's telling me to plan a wedding. She's literally trying to freak him out as much as she is, and that's just so. I think this is maybe they'll make it work, but don't weaponize this against people, y'all. This is rough.
But I think And maybe too, why a lot of people will have a strong reaction to this is because we've all done it. We've all seen it. This is a very normal thing to do that people do. It's weaponizing their fear and basically just projecting their fear onto someone. We all have done this.
Yeah.
And so.
But does that make it any less?
No, I'm just saying that's what I think is interesting about this storyline is that. I mean, why she's triggering you, a lot of people, is you've done this. I've done this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what our mothers did to us our whole lives.
Right.
So it's like this.
But we're seeing it. I'm sorry to interrupt you. We are seeing it in a way that we see her motivations, though.
No, so that, yes, it's so clear. And so that I think it's just was so, it's compelling to watch.
But she also is, unlike a lot of people, she is totally discounting his experience. And a lot of us know that past 2022, we don't do this.
Yeah.
So that's why it is hard to watch her segments, because I know you're right. A lot of us have done this.
Yeah.
But there's a child at there's a child here.
No. Yeah.
And that's where a lot of people, they would, I think
that's, and I think that was the point I was trying to convey. Like when people are like, oh, she shouldn't have to marry him. I'm like, no.
That's irrelevant. That's
but
all
it's like,
irrelevant.
She has a child. It's a child.
We're never going to agree about that.
But I think you just proved my point. That's the same. It's a child. It's about the child now, and she's making this all about her instead of you want to connect because you want to. She even said we want to be a good solid couple.
No, she can.
For
she can
child.
She can talk about the child.
But that's not.
I'm talking about the child. They need to think about the child. Mm-hmm. But if things don't work out, that was not my whole point. I was saying things don't work out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're talking about. This is different than that.
Okay.
But I feel like neither one of them is thinking about the best interest of their kid right now. This is all about
her. Kirby is.
This
we
is
don't know
all
enough,
about her
so.
Sexual things for him.
I disagree with that. I think it's a lot about fear. I think Emily is going to be good because you and I both see her dip. We both don't love her, but we see her very differently. So I think it's going to be good conversations as the season progresses. Because to me, I think the sexualization is just a symptom of her own fear of inadequacies. So to me, it's deeper than that.
But it also demeans another person.
But that has nothing to do with what I just said. It demeans, but it just because it demeans another person, it's sexualized. But the root of it, to me,
but,
is this unbelievable fear of not being loved.
What just happened?
No, but I'm saying it demeans another person as Kobe.
Yes,
it demeans. So it obviously hurts another person in the relationship.
Yes, I wasn't discounting that for sure. I just think the motive, where you said this whole night was about sexualization. I think it was, to me, about the fear that she has and that because, and of inadequacy.
But it all boils down to the same thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think we just see Emily different. So it'll be interesting to hear, like, Sissy's
No,
comment.
It is. It's, and in the internet, she is not looked well upon.
Yeah.
But I think there's a mixture of our ideas going on. I think definitely you fall into the more people who would want to stand up for her more than I will.
I'm not standing up for her. I think what she's doing is abhorrent. And like I said, the last episode, I was kind of like, I kind of like her. And then said this episode, I was like, oh, girl. So I'm not standing up for her at all. I'm just, I think society is quick to, anytime a woman is sexual and it's in a negative, controlling way, people are quick to jump on and see just the sex aspect of what that. But to me, I'm like, but what's deeper than that? What's motivating her overt sexualness? Because I don't think we, it's same for men too. I think we see the sex.
True, but isn't it still affecting the other person the same way? So I'm trying to think about him. He's still, him and the child it's still the same effect.
It's still the same
effect.
Doesn't
matter. Yes, it matters why. It may matter when how we see her, but when the rubber hits the road, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, for him, he's just, I don't think he's going to have the emotional maturity.
We don't know him, though.
I know, so. But I don't think he's going to have emotional maturity to see under that.
I think
he's just going to feel attacked.
I think this whole storyline's a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
And they'll probably get married.
Oh, they're for sure going to get married. 100%. I think they're the most likely couple to get married on the entire season. Except for Kara and Guillermo.
They're going to get married.
But even that, a part of me says, yeah, they're more of a lock.
Interesting. Tell me why you think that.
Because I think...
Because they have a child?
Because they have a kid, yeah. For the same reason that Benny and Ari, I think he's going to do what he has to do to be with his kid.
Yeah. I think we've found a new Ari in some ways.
Yeah,
for a lot of people.
Similarities. It'll be interesting to see how he interacts with, well, just how he interacts in general, but to see how his family, because like Ari's family, her family seems sensible and just kind of normal.
And the same way, the way they treat Ari, the family kind of rolls their eyes at what Ari does.
Yeah, and they're both looked at as they were the wild child. They traveled around. They were the woohoo girls. Very similar.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's all I've got.
That's all I have, too.
Let's move on to... You will get the bidet fixed. Ooh. Welcome to the Breck Show.
I feel like, what is, why am I can't, Blake and what's her name? I feel like this is her robot brother who's been finally activated.
I don't know if
he
I
just
would
seems
say
so fake.
Robot, I would say it's not even a creepiness. It is I'm on camera and I don't know how to act. I think
maybe,
that's part
of
it.
Maybe.
Or
what if he was like the most jovial, likable person, and then as soon as it said, and action, he goes, hi.
But before that,
he was like, what's up, everybody?
I honestly think that may be it. Because he is so uncomfortable talking on camera.
He just seems... And now, I want to give him... Maybe he's also translating it in his brain as he's speaking.
I'm sure that's it.
So there's some of that. But I don't know if that would cause his voice to go up so high and sound so weird.
He might have a naturally higher voice, but it is this weird...
Because I didn't get a gay vibe.
I got a gay
vibe.
But
I got a vibe. I'm saying you did. Yeah. You talked about that earlier. And I didn't get that. But I did get a confused vibe.
Like he's like,
something's confusing.
I'm Muhammad. I am 25 years old from Alexandria, Egypt.
He's just too pretty. He's almost too pretty.
See, I don't think that's fair to say because no one can control that.
And no, that's not about him. I'm just saying for me.
I think he's gorgeous.
But I don't think I could be with him. It's too pretty. I would just be like, you're not real.
What other celebrities... male stars do you think are too pretty? Like, because I think Jude Law is too pretty, but you're into him.
No, Jude Law is not too pretty for me. When he was younger, too pretty.
Yeah.
Too pretty.
I'm just questioning what you think about that. And it's rooted in a little bit of sexism, I feel like. But let's talk about it.
Oh, okay. Brad Pitt, too pretty. Can't
okay.
do it. Tay Diggs, too pretty. I would be like...
Really?
I would just be like,
But you don't.
It's not rooted in sexism. It's rooted in my own inadequacy.
But you'll fawn all over him.
But I'm talking about in real life. I would be like, oh, I'm going to talk about how hot Mohammed is. He's just so. It's just, and also too, I think the way he does his hair and everything, it's just too.
Too put together.
It's too perfect looking to me.
Okay. Maybe that's why I got a gay vibe, but
I don't know. I think, like I said, I wasn't gay, but there's like a, when I watch him, there's something that just doesn't feel, not sincere, but I'm confused.
So he says, I feel like I'm born again in this woman.
And then he says really sweet things like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
I want to like them. I especially want to like her.
I really like her.
Feel like she wants to mother him, and that's all he wants. And
well, and he says he felt like he was born again. He said that because he sees her at the airport, and then he says, she's showing affection in public, and in my country, we can't do that. And he said, this is my first taste of freedom. And then that's
lowered a little bit. That's it sounds like you're berries and cream now.
Berries and cream. And that's when he said he felt like he was born again. And when he said that, I went, that's so touching. That's so sweet and so kind. So maybe.
And there was one moment when they were going home and he went, she said, the thing about it is people don't understand the sacrifice you're making. You're leaving. And I doubt that any American has really, really made this clear in their first day there.
Don't make me love you more, Eve.
I know.
Don't make me love. You know what? I realized in the trailers of 90 Day Fiancé, of like when we see like the whole trailer of this season, we really haven't seen a lot of him.
We've seen stuff about him talking about bikini and her boobs, but not a lot.
And he doesn't seem very upset. So
yeah.
But yeah, when she said this, I went, what a beautiful thing. I mean, again, like you see, Emily and Kobe didn't have that conversation.
Later on, no, they haven't talked about anything.
No, that's what it feels like. They've talked about nothing, just like they get, even though they have a kid, they're like, how are you? They just talk about like what nothing. They watched on TV that day.
So he says, living with her is against the rules of my religion, but I consider her my wife. So I hope God doesn't worry. That's what I say as soon as anyone's like, fucking me. Three ways till Sunday.
Hope God doesn't worry.
God, don't worry.
So
again, don't care.
I'm going to be annoyed by that later on because I'm going to be like, so you can excuse the rules of your religion when it benefits you, but you don't want to wear a bikini. So now we have to strip to.
I totally agree. Ugh. But remember that religion is flexible for everyone who practices it. So
I know.
What I would just want to say is don't use religion to shame your partner.
No.
And it's all in the way you do it.
We'll see how he does it.
I don't think it's going to work out.
Because he seems very, the way he speaks to her, he seems very kind.
Yeah.
Or on acid. We don't know.
Or on Klonopin. I will say they get home and he's like, this house is twice as big as the one that I live in. And she has made him a desk area with pictures of his mom, who is definitely the most important person in his life. And pictures of them.
There's shit all over her house.
Yeah, the house is clean, cluttered.
But it is, I mean, there is not a... So the fact that she cleared off a desk space, I'm like, okay.
And so they go into the bedroom and he's like, oh, look at this broom. And there's
all the rose petals are there.
Rose petals are back.
They're
Matt Sharp Productions.
They're back. Hi.
And there's this weird,
ooh, it's a pretty one,
box with the crown ring. And he's like, it's a perfect fit.
I got this for you because you're my prince.
You are the woman who will love me as my mother.
What?
Yikes.
What? What?
What did I say?
What? So yes, as his mother, someone.
She's taking care of me.
To make his life easier. And I went,
yikes.
This will be great for a woman who already has a child with different needs. This is going to be really.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Full time.
So
yeah,
she's like, so I did not get the bidet done. And he's like, and he went, the creepiest thing in the world. He looks right at her and goes, you will get it done. I guarantee you, it's going to be something I'll say. That quote I'm going to take with me anytime. I'll think
if I'm
to myself,
stressed out.
How am I going to get it? And I'll hear his voice going, you will get it done. Every time I'm thinking, how will I get all these numbers plugged into this? And I'll think of Muhammad going, whispering in my ear with his airy, blowing across a Coke bottle voice. You will get it done.
It's so sing-songy. We can just do it in harmony.
And then he's like, I think Eve needs to make more sacrifices for me.
And I went, did they just tell him to say that? It kind of, we don't know him yet well enough.
No, I think they're going to ruin this for us. I just have a feeling.
What if they don't, though? What if this is finally the one time?
It's not.
Matt Sharp is going to show us true love.
It's not.
He's going to be sweet. He's gonna willingly be breastfed like his mother did at home.
It's not. It's not.
We can't trust it, y'all. We can't trust it.
That's the show.
We didn't get Callie and Guillermo. Or
Kara.
Kara and Guillermo. We'll get them next episode. Overall, so now we've met everybody except for Meathead.
Meathead and Thais.
We're meeting him next week.
Yes.
So
I just want dick pics.
Wow. So I don't want to ask, like, what do we think about this season yet? Try to remind me. We'll forget. But let's talk about it next season when we've met everybody.
It's really messy so far. Boy.
I'm enjoying it, but let's talk about when...
I will say this.
Why is Meathead so late to the game?
It may be the Stephanie Cuckoo line.
Oh, God. I hope not, because I think he's going to be fun fodder for us.
Well, no. The chick from Brazil he's with is legit nutty, and yeah, I can't wait. But I think that's the show.
Y'all go to realitygaze.com. That's where you can get tickets for all of our live shows. Or you can go to our Instagram. You can go to our Linktree link. Also in the show notes on the show, it'll say get tickets here, and you'll get that Linktree link. It'll just sign you right up. If you're having trouble getting VIP for Salt Lake City, let us know. There's a tech issue that's going on with the theater.
But it depends on from computer to computer.
And they're trying to fix it. So let us know about that. The VIP for San Francisco and Dallas is sold out.
I think the Austin was close to
Austin
out.
And Columbus were close to. Yeah. So if you want a VIP to those shows, if you want to meet
it now.
Us afterwards, Poodle will hug you. And he will...
No, that's not a guarantee.
That's true.
Let me approach you.
That's true. Unless you bring your husband, he'll hug your husband.
Depends on if he's hot. I have to decide.
It's his rules, y'all. His body.
My body, my rules.
His rules, as always.
As always.
But summer should be fun, and we would love to see y'all on the road. It gives us great joy to do it. Also, follow us on our TikTok, Instagram, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to the podcast.
It's very Stephanie. Yeah, listen to podcast. Cuckoo's dead. You know, I gotta contact my psychic, what's her name, and we're gonna go contact Cuckoo in the afterlife to see if he's happy.
Sad and glad she's gone. Yo, we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places, Poodle?
Yes.
And if you need a consultation after 2 years of not having sex,
call us.
Thank you, Christina.
You will get it done.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.